Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. I'm your host, Chris Chin, coming to you the morning after a great win against the Memphis Grizzlies and before we play the Kings again tonight. And I just wanted to hop in here, talk a little bit more about the Kuminga injury and some silver linings and why, at least from a timing standpoint, it might not be the worst for the Warriors right now. So, you know, we'll just kind of do a little copying and talk about why there are a few silver linings here. But before that, great win for the Warriors. It turns out when you make over 23s and shoot over 50% from three, it's a winning recipe. But again, really good shot creation, got a lot of open shots and a lot of role players stepping up, knocking down big shots, and everything just feels better and players play with more energy when you're making threes. So another great win, and hopefully we can kind of keep it rolling again, you know, in early January, just like with life, fitness, health, great chance to kind of wipe the slate clean from 2024 and build good habits and set yourself up for success in the new year. So got to keep on doing it. Got to stay consistent with these habits. And hopefully, just like all resolutions, we can keep it going through January and maybe fall off the wagon in February. But we'll cross that bridge when the time comes. But yeah, a little bit more about the game last night. I have to be honest, I watched most of it, but from my phone, I was honoring my Christmas gift to my beautiful wife. We did a little axe throwing with friends in Long Beach during the day. And then we went to Disney on Ice with a bunch of 7 and 8 year olds. But despite not having kids of our own, it was acceptable because we were very drunk and had a good time. I was planning to just watch from my phone with my headphones in while Disney on Ice is going in the background, but I got distracted. It was actually pretty good. I was like sitting there again, pretty liquored up, and you know, Snow White just comes in on skates and just, you know, hits a triple axel. Like, oh wow, that was pretty impressive. And then like moments later, Rapunzel comes in and hits a backflip, and the whole crowd went crazy. So I just, my attention went there. But I was watching the game, obviously saw the Kuminga injury, watched the replay several times. So just silver linings in terms of the injury, right? So Kerr says it's, you know, not a day-to-day thing, which, you know, most moderate ankles aren't. But then he said, you know, it's a significant ankle. We're going to have an MRI taken, I guess, maybe today. I don't know. I mean, looking at the injury and Kuminga's response, first off, you know, he goes straight up. He lands on that right leg first. The nice thing is he's coming down pretty two-footed. It's not like he's coming down just on one. Yes, the right leg came down first, but that left leg, it's kind of like, you know, like pitter-patter, where, you know, a lot of his weight was able to be absorbed by that left leg coming down moments after. So I'm hopeful that took a little of the impact off of that right. Also, the good news is, you know, when he comes down, he doesn't land 100% on someone else's foot, where, you know, you really see that foot kind of invert and go 90 degrees in the ankle. That's where you see the bad injuries to the ankle. His ball of the foot, his toe actually comes down first, then his heel lands on whoever's shoe it was, and then it kind of rolls out. So the hope is that it's, I mean, not significant in the fact that, you know, we're talking a month or more. I'm hopeful, first off, it's not a high ankle sprain, which I don't believe, and that, you know, it's just kind of a low lateral outside of your ankle sprain, which is a pretty common one. The fact that he's able to, you know, more or less limp off. I know he went straight to the locker room, had ice on it, and was on crutches after the game. That's all fairly commonplace for any type of ankle injury. I mean, if we're talking about like when we saw like Steph Curry's ankle injury earlier in the season, when he kind of tweaked it a couple times, I mean, in terms of pain response, just kind of their limp to the locker room, it's not all that different. I would guess Kuminga's was a little bit worse, but I think, if I, you know, before the MRI comes in, I'm just playing doctor here, I'm going to guess it's maybe a couple weeks. I don't see it being closer like in a month. And he's so young, he's athletic, you know, this is the first real injury we've seen at him. So we have no idea what his injury recovery time frame typically is. But, you know, we've seen it with the best athletes, that, you know, guys like Kuminga, you know, they tend to heal faster than the average athlete. So I'm hopeful. That being said, he's obviously, you know, an explosive player that plays you know, 95% based off his athleticism to begin with. So we'll see how much it could kind of linger and hamper him from there. But the good news also is that it was his right ankle, and being a right-handed player, you're more of a left-footed jumper. You're cross dominant in most cases. He's a very good, he's more of a two-footed jumper, to be honest. But again, you know, that it's going to be, it would be worse if it was to that left. So all that being said, I'm a little bit optimistic that the injury timeline itself might, you know, maybe he'll be back before that February 6th trade deadline, which we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Let's talk about like internally what it does to the Warriors and why I think it might not be a bad thing just in terms of, you know, kind of that next man up mentality. So we've seen it already with the Warriors, right? When Steph doesn't play, Warriors are 5-2. You see players rise up and, you know, elevate their usage, right? You've seen Wiggins obviously step up in a night like last night. You've seen Kuminga step up big time when Steph has been out. You know, even guys like Schroeder is going to get a little more, you know, more all he can handle, and we'll see what he can really do with just kind of leading and being a little extra of a scoring threat with Kuminga out. But my point is, look at last night. As soon as Kuminga got hurt, Andrew Wiggins, who has been kind of just sleepwalking the last couple games, flips a switch. It helps that Desmond Bane ran him over towards the end of the first half and just kind of woke and physically woke Wiggins up. But as soon as Kuminga goes out, Wiggins goes into alpha mode, which you just sometimes need to remind him, or just, hey, like, we need you to flip the switch. We know you're defending the team's best player at all times, so we need you to, you know, dig deep for a little more energy and also be our alpha leading scorer. And to which, in that third quarter, I think he scored 20 points and basically carried the Warriors to a win. So the thing I loved most about Wiggins last night, in addition to the 24 points, is just the 17 field goal attempts. It's easy for Wiggins to just kind of settle into being a role player. I think it's just personality wise, he would love to just only take 10 to 12 shots a game. We need him to be aggressive. And if Kuminga being out is what kind of spurs Wiggins to, you know, take four or five more, you know, shots, get downhill, become a little bit more of a playmaker, I'm all for it. So first and foremost, Wiggins, I expect to kind of raise his level of play while Kuminga's out. Secondly, it opens up minutes at that power four spot for Kyle Anderson. I think now Warriors, 12-2 when Anderson plays. And I'm a big Kyle Anderson guy. I know obviously his shot is as broken as it gets, and even though he did make a three, and he's got some, you know, some flaws, especially on the offensive end. But man, he is just, we all love the Kyle Anderson signing when it happened for the reasons that we saw last night. You know, 7 points, which, you know, we will take 7 points out of him at all times. He can actually create and get to his own shot pretty well for his lack of athleticism. Just that length allows him to kind of get into the paint and you know, get decent looks off. But he's always going to be good rebounding. He had three, give you three assists, which is pretty commonplace for him as another ball handler. And then, you know, he is going to do his defensive thing, a steal, two blocks, very switchable, played 22 minutes last night. So if nothing else, it gets Kyle Anderson off, you know, into the rotation. And, you know, if he can at least get 15 minutes a game, he's a winning player. And I think the Warriors have done great things. I love, you know, even though he's kind of a Draymond substitute and replica, they play well together. And again, it's always having another ball handler and playmaker, especially paired with Steph when he's back, is a plus. So getting Kyle Anderson some minutes, let's just kind of find some combos that work there, because he's a, if you have enough spacing and shooting and scoring around him, he's a winning player. And then lastly, just on an internal basis, Kuminga being out for a bit, I think it reduces Dre's center minutes, right? Dre's been having to log, you know, close to 15 minutes at center just to make sure Kuminga's playing his 30 minutes at a power forward spot and giving him as much spacing and just kind of that speed lineup as possible. This gives Dre a little breather, potentially lets him kind of stay at that four. I think TJD is going to get a few more minutes at the five. We might even see Looney getting a few more, although he might still be out of the rotation. But nevertheless, I think it could potentially give Dre a little bit of reprieve from that center position and just take a little bit off of him for the time being. Okay, well, the true silver lining here, from an external trade value standpoint, let's see here, where do we even start? Let's just talk about trade value, right? So Jonathan Kuminga is arguably at the peak of all trade value for himself. I know he had a really good run of, you know, 20 points plus for close to a month last year. look to be turning a corner, and we've seen more of the same this past December, right? So in 13 December games, so decent sample size, he's been averaging 21 points per game and 6.3 rebounds, both very good numbers. And all those percentages weren't great. You love the counting stats, including last night's games. So now we're talking 15 games since beginning of December. Kuminga is shooting 40.7% from three. I know it was like 36% before the last couple games, but he's gone five for his last six. Really is a good time for him to go out and teams just say, hey, okay, well, this guy's shooting close to 41% or a 15 game sample size. That's the key to raising his value, and just the way the Warriors have been hyping him up, his value is never going to be higher. Okay. Now that that's established, I hate the idea of trading Kuminga, but we're not in an ordinary situation. We know that Steph Curry and Draymond's window is closing. The only and most direct way to get Steph another shot at winning a title, just conceptually, is you have to trade as much future value as you have for as much present day value as you can get. Future value, right? We have draft picks and Jonathan Kuminga. I mean, the youth, obviously his future upside is why we don't want to trade him, but it is going to be the biggest bait in terms of getting you someone who's ready to help now. So the thought was, hey, if you're going to somehow lure an all-star caliber player, you're going to have to package JK and probably Wiggins just for salary matching purposes, but also just in terms of providing enough value. It didn't seem that just Kuminga and ancillary pieces and minimal picks would get you that. But if Kuminga's value has risen enough, maybe now we can do something where it hits, hey, Kuminga and picks, that in terms of value might be enough to lure an all-star. And then in terms of salary matching, so he's 7.6 million against the cap on February 5th and 6th, only those two dates. You can trade Schroeder's 13 mil. You can, and then at any time you could trade $9 million contracts, each of Gary Payton II, Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, all make around nine. Looney makes around eight. All those contracts that we're talking, if you had to, right? Kuminga, Schroeder, GP, Buddy, Kyle, Looney, that all adds up to $55 million worth of salary. And the key here is that that does not include Andrew Wiggins. The only trades that make sense for the Warriors to go for it now is retaining Wiggins, right? They talked about the Jimmy Butler deals. It doesn't sound like the Warriors are even interested because it would have to include Kuminga and Wiggins for the most part. I don't know if that changes anything in terms of the Butler standpoint, but there are a lot of other $35 to $45 million players out there that now you could potentially do a Kuminga, you know, GP, Buddy, Kyle, Looney trade that gets you up to what, like $42, $43 million, throw some picks in there. And now you retain Wiggins. You can even retain Schroeder at that point. Say you're hypothetically getting somebody, I don't know who's a good example here. I mean, I would say Durant, LeBron, Zion, any of those guys, a bigger power forward or even a wing. But you pair that, now you have Curry, you have Schroeder, you have Wiggins, you have Draymond, and you can go get some guys like that. You could even potentially try, I don't know if it works, but you could try to get Vucevic and Cam Johnson. So they're both about 20 to 22 million. That total is 42 for both of them. Value-wise, I don't know if you can get Cam Johnson without giving up Kuminga. Anyways, do the Cam Johnson for Kuminga trade, then aggregate some salaries some salaries and a draft pick for Vucevic. It can be done. It seems like it can be done. You might be a little bit thinner on the roster, but now you've got a really good five, six guys that gives you a competitive lineup and more so just a different look. So again, any hope to contention, you know, we've always talked about it. It's two things. It's a Kuminga breakout, and then you just add, you know, a Vucevic and just hope the roster's good enough. Or the major shakeup is you're trading Kuminga, and we'll see if he's back before the trade deadline. But again, his trade value never higher. Hope to catch a big fish without having to give up Wiggins. And then the last point here, if you know you're still on the fence about whether we should trade Kuminga or not, because I go back and forth every day, he is a restricted free agent. So we already know he turned down $30 million a year. I assume that would be for what, 4 or 5 years from the 5 years from the Warriors. So we're talking $150 million. He turned that down in the offseason. I would say he's probably after this point looking for even more because he's been good in the last month or two. And if his ascent continues that, you know, we're maybe talking closer to $33, $35 million a year. Is that what the Warriors want to do? Are you just going to lock up Kuminga and basically, you know, starting next year, keep more or less the same roster, and then you're just bridging the gap to the future? You're committing to Kuminga. And while I love Kuminga, it's not going to win Steph another championship. And as soon as Steph's gone, a Kuminga, Pajemski, Moody, TJD-led team is not going to be winning a championship either, barring some craziness. And I'll look at the West going forward. I mean, the Thunder are – this is as bad as the Thunder are going to be for the next 7 to 10 years, right? They have a ton of picks, a ton of space. I mean, they're talking about adding Cam Johnson. You know, they're talking about adding another major player. Even a Jimmy Butler could potentially be in play for them. Chet Holmgren is not even healthy yet. And, you know, they're as young as it gets. They're up and coming, and they've just been the one seed the last two seasons. You have Wembanyama on the Spurs, who is as bad as he's ever going to be again. You know, he's going to win 10 defensive player of the years and a few MVPs and average 30 points per game. And the Spurs also have Stephon Castle, who might win rookie of the year. And they have a lot of pieces as well. You have the up and coming Rockets, who have a lot of young athletic players and a lot of picks as well. And then you have Luka Doncic and all those guys as well in Dallas. So my point being, I don't know that in, you know, a post Steph Curry era is even close to being competitive. You might make the playoffs with or without a Kuminga breakout, or even with a Kuminga breakout. So all that being said, you know, if you're not first, you're last. You're playing for championships here. You have Steph Curry. You have to think about, and you have to honestly trade Kuminga and shop him and ship him for as much as you can possibly acquire now and go for it. So I hate to say it, and I hate to think that there's a small chance that we've seen Kuminga play his last game for the Warriors. I hope it's not the case, but if it does happen and we do get a hold back, then we'll see. So maybe this ankle injury is just what the doctor ordered for the greater good for the Warriors. That all being said, I hope you get better soon, JK. You've been balling. I love watching you play. And, you know, hopefully he's back within, you know, at least a couple weeks. All right, let's go get him tonight. Shooting hot, staying hot, feeling good at home. Kings come in. Curry's back. De'Aaron Fox is doubtful. Let's just hope some of these secondary pieces step up and we can still not have to worry about that number two scorer issue that the Warriors have been struggling with early in the season. Kuminga has filled it nicely lately, but that becomes a big hole that Andrew Wiggins, Buddy Hield, Dennis Schroeder must fill. All right, I will talk to you guys later. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and go Warriors. Until next time, don't forget to hit like and subscribe. I'm Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.